So guys, we go to another research article. This is going to be our last bit of formal presentation after this break and exam. So this follows on from the thinking that went on about the article that I talked about yesterday. And here we're talking about trying to understand the different causal mechanisms and speculating how these mechanisms, the things that cause people to adopt ISO 9000 and the effects that has on performance, how that changes over time. So let's start here. So we bring the idea of something that's completely new to you guys, and it was new to me until about 5 years ago. And it's a way of thinking which is called critical realism. And what critical realism tries to do is tries to think that when we do empirical research, like the research that we looked at yesterday, what we're actually doing is we're observing something secondhand, because we observe what we think is happening. But it can be distorted by the way that we actually look at it, what we try to measure, how we measure it. But all we have to understand is we have to go one level down and then another level down to understand what might be causing these results that we have. So, one level down is the event. This is what we're trying to capture in our observations and findings. These are real things. This is what we're trying to find, but whenever we do research, we're always doing it either by interviewing people secondhand, so they're telling us about something that's already happened or their feelings, or in questionnaire kind of research, or research where we're looking at figures that are published in public accounts and so on. We're looking at events, but what is the mechanism that's actually behind those? So, we need to step back from empirical to events and then start thinking about the mechanisms. So, what do we mean by mechanism? These are the underlying causes of the changes that we see. And I've done quite a bit of thinking about ISO 9000 and the results that Inaki, Marty and I found in that other bit of research. And this is the results of it. So, these are the underpinning causes that generate the events that we try to measure empirically. So, theory needs to be based on understanding these mechanisms and how they might interact. So, it all seems a bit high-level stuff, but you'll see when we actually apply it, it starts to make sense. I hope so, anyway. So, we know this model here, we looked at it yesterday. So, this is a classic model. These are supposed to be sort of causal chain, but we don't know what the events are in terms of certification to ISO 9000, the quality management systems, and the effect of time and motives on that, and that's what we're trying to uncover. So, this is forward causation. Yesterday we demonstrated that this is relatively weak as we get to the end, if it exists at all, and that the kind of measurements that we do, the kind of tests that we do, are very much dictated whether we find positive results or not. Strict to the criteria we use, the less we actually find. Now, to be fair, we're talking about ISO 9000 here, but it's true of the measurement of any management initiative. It's also true of that too. So, let's look at the research. Yesterday, there's a guy back there. He said, well, what about time? So what we've done is I've put together the research that we did in Spain, the research we looked at yesterday, some research that was done in Denmark, and some research that was done in the USA, all of which was longitudinal research. And you see this zero here in the middle? What we've done is we've said, let's forget about the year as it happened and have certification as year zero. So
we model everything on the basis that this is the event. This is when certification happened back here. And here is the percentage above the other companies, the control group, for those particular observations. So it's full of people. First of all, Denmark. This is the certification year. So, profitability was pretty good before it. Seemed to dip a bit, went up madly, and then went down. No significant trend there. Many writers have suggested that the benefits of ISO 9000 will build over time. Well, there doesn't seem to be any evidence of that here. Instead, we, as we discussed yesterday, note that we are looking at return on assets here, and there's many other reasons that can actually cause these changes. So I'm not surprised by the result. Let's look at Spain. Well, in the run-up to certification, profitability seemed to fade away. Then it stayed static, then it went up a bit, and then it went down a bit. So, difficult to conclude much. I'm going to be asking you to kind of think about this in a minute. This is the American research. You can see that the difference between the certified and non-certified was much smaller than in Denmark and Spain. You know, these are significant differences percentage-wise. So, here in America, relatively flat profits went up in the year of certification and then dipped down and recovered a little bit. So, what do we conclude from this? I'm going to get you to do a little bit of work. What I want you to do, and I'll show you on the next slide, is to think about, you know, we've got the green, which is Denmark, we've got Spain, we've got America. Do some averaging. Now think about, yeah, if you did research which said, for instance, that this minus 2, this is actually what the people that did this research said, well, minus 2 is the year that we should take to measure improvements. Why did they pick that year? Well, it just happens to be the worst year, doesn't it? So this helps us come up with much more positive results for here and here, and we can average it out and say, yes, ISO 9000 doesn't make a difference. Well, maybe not so if you take that year. So what I want you to do is have a bit of thinking, do some averaging, looking at the other research this year, and just come to a conclusion whether you think there is any trend there, whether there is any benefit. So we're going to be looking at that previous slide. That is what you've got to do. So spend 10 minutes or so on this. So it's over to you guys.
Sorry, can I ask something before?
Of course you can, yes.
You were saying maybe that you have, for example, non-certified companies, but there are other types of certifications which do the same as ISO 9000.
This is true, yes. But these are companies that have pursued ISO 9000, okay? It is possible that the companies that are not yet certified, sorry, that aren't certified, have pursued other things. We don't know that. This is one of the imperfections of research. It could be that the companies that have pursued ISO 9000 are also doing Six Sigma and other things. It's entirely possible. That is the difficulty in these things. Yes?
So, the other thing, the time factor. You've done it so that everybody starts a year certification.
Yeah.
But if you certify back in the 90s, you get a lot more benefits if you certify in 2012.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Yes, I do. I do agree with you. And the theory that we'll talk about after we've just looked at this bit of data, we'll be looking into that. And I think it's a very important point. Very good point indeed. Okay? But we'll come to that.
Okay.
There. Pretty confusing picture, isn't it? Now,
If we were doing normal cross-sectional research and just comparing a particular year of classification to non-certified firms, we would conclude that there is an association between profitability and housing, because these firms are more profitable than non-certified firms. But we know from what we looked at yesterday, the methodology there, and also from this, these firms are more profitable before the event than after the event. I'm not sure that you can really see any trend which tells you anything about what's happening, because one set of data contradicts another set, and so on. So we did mention yesterday that this is complicated, because there's lots of things that can affect profitability. So saying ISO 9000 is the only thing, it's probably a bit naive, but researchers do this. And unfortunately, because cross-sectional research has looked at non-certified companies and certified companies and seen these gains here, they move along as if this is definite, something that's going to happen. We know that this really isn't the case. It's very hard for consultants to accept this, because they're virtually redundant. Why spend money on a consultant to get ISO 9001 if you're a company that doesn't have much of a quality management system? It is not going to make a lot of difference. Now, we're going to explore the underlying mechanisms here. You tried. Did any of you come up with a definitive conclusion?
Yeah, you know, you got it.
You did?
Sorry, no.
You didn't. You just put your hand up in short.
Because I have a question.
Yes, of course.
These companies are, for example, are they the same size or are they in the same sector? Or?
Yeah. In good research, and the research that's done here, the ones that we selected, really looking at companies, authors who've used good research methodologies. Good research methodology will say, I have got a group of companies in this industry. I break them down by the size of those companies in the industry, and I make sure that the sample that I'm choosing from the non-certified companies match the characteristics. So in size, we have so many companies that employ 3,000 to 5,000 people, so we choose other companies that are also like that. And companies have these codes which say what industry they're in and so on, and subcodes. So you select the company so that you have a matching sample. It's not perfect, pretty far from perfect, but you do tests to check that your samples are equivalent, so that you can test statistically to say, are these the same or different? And your test is, if it says it's different, then you've got it wrong, okay? Statistically, they should look identical. And then you look at their performance and so on. So you don't select the companies on the basis of their performance, but on other criteria. So, yes, you try to avoid those inconsistencies. So, we've looked at it, we can't really conclude much, except that definitely, on the whole, companies are considerably more profitable for the event and after. But researchers could pick a year, which is a low year, like minus one year, and could compare it with year one here and say, well, it's actually a little bit better and a little bit better. And of course, a lot of research does that. It just looks at the difference between before one year and after one year. And I have a suspicion that it's rather convenient to choose years based on sort of how good that year is. We look at the picture and it's very, very confusing. So, remember the little diagram we have. What we're really saying here is it's a reverse causation mechanism. We have the possibility that developmental motives lead to people adopting ISO 9000. Certainly, in terms of profitability, this is the case, but there may be some that are just more profitable, and they do adopt ISO 9000 to join the club. Why not? Our competitors have got it, let's do it. So, now we explore what's behind this and try to sort of theorize a little bit. here are some alternative causation mechanisms or models. First of all, ISO 9000 causes improvement to the business performance through a range of benefits and through the promotion benefits of the badge certification. We've got the possibility of developmental motives act as a vehicle for improving their business process. We've also got this mechanism we've been examining. Better performing firms are more likely to pursue ISO 9000. And also the possibility that better performing firms have developmental motives. They are firms that have this as a characteristic. So those are different mechanisms that we can derive from this. So let's look. We could suggest a number of different mechanisms. First of all, a promotion mechanism, that is the badge, signals better quality, and this signal means that people are more likely to buy. There is a motives mechanism, that those people that aren't pretending, i.e. they're taking ISO 9000 seriously, get higher performance. Those people that just want the badge and don't really care how they get the badge, and when they've got the badge, everything goes back to normal, we would call these posers, people who are pretending that they've got a quality management system. And then we have this reverse causation mechanism that already high-performing firms have a greater propensity or a more greater likelihood to adopt QCert than lower performing. This is a reverse causation mechanism. So let's look at each of these mechanisms in turn. So this is a promotion mechanism. Forget about the propositions because this is in the form. We're not looking at it. So the mechanism, the badge, signals better quality performance. The events generated by that mechanism is obliquely, that means to the side. This causes improved performance because we attract more customers. It's not because of anything we're doing inside the firm. It's merely the matter that we're signalling that something has changed. So, empirically, cross-sectional studies, such as the ones that we've looked at, will show higher sales, more often associated with QCert, and higher profitability. So we would expect QCert to lead to some level of higher profitability. How much is difficult to judge. In fact, there's never been any research that's been able to unbundle what is the badge effect. So, the next mechanism is the motives mechanism. So, QCert allows firms that are not pretending, that are serious about their quality management function and systems to achieve high performance. This leads to events. Non-posers after certification at higher performance. Sorry, non-posers. Right. Non-posers are now high performers, whereas posers achieve only the promotion mechanism that we discussed earlier. They've got that badge, and maybe some benefits come from it. And empirical findings? Well, the benefits of QCert adoption would depend on a firm's motives. And we saw that whole range of research that had been done looking at a different range of developmental motives, but they're all similar in the sense that they're looking to ISO 9000 to improve their systems in the company. They're not just looking on the badge. So, non-posers get higher performance, posers are not associated with higher performance. So these are the mechanisms, with the final one being the reverse causation mechanism. So, here it's about the propensity of high-performing firms. Sure, AHPs, already high-performing firms, have a greater propensity or likelihood to adopt QCert than lower-performing firms. So causation is reversed for AHPs. Events, AHPs, are first movers because they are more likely to adopt the suggestion that was made over there, you know, that high-performing firms may well be the firms that adopt ISO 9000 first. And that any cross-sectional firm in the early days studies will show success because it's dominated by already high-performing firms. So, empirically, cross-sectional results will show high performance is associated with adoption of QCIRT, but this precedes the adoption of QCIRT. So, this is the background. How does it work in terms of the different mechanisms over time? So, here's a little chart to try to explain this. At the bottom, we've got firms that don't have quality certification. These are the firms that could be firms that are high performers and could be firms that are low performers, but neither have got QCIRT. Up at the top, we've got QCIRT firms that have got high performance and QCIRT firms that have low performance. My theory is that in the early days, this reverse mechanism is dominant, and there's some evidence for this. So, these firms that don't have QCIRT become firms that do have QCIRT, and their high performance continues. But it's not due to QCIRT. The next mechanism is the motives mechanism. This, I suggest, is something which comes later on. You know, this is the very early days of adoption. Gradually, over time, this companies that have been successful, research says QCIRT brings success. So those people say, yeah, we should do that. We've suggested it's entirely wrong, that the association is that QCIRT is the cause of the better performance. But they see the researchers say, yeah. And the research is quoted by the consultants and the registrars, so people think it's a good thing to do. And some of the that are low performing say, we think we can improve our systems and do better if we adopt a framework like ISO 9000 or ISO 9001. So these are non-observers, and these move from being low performing firms to being higher performance firms. Whereas those that adopt ISO 9000 but are not really serious about it in terms of development, these firms are posers, and they get a badge, but they don't really see any great benefit. Now, we also talked about the badge of quality having some benefits. I suspect the reason that no research has been published to say that the badge of quality actually makes a difference to performance is because nobody's found it, and there is a problem with publications. They don't seem to be willing to publish things that don't find results. So, I think it's an obvious thing to research, it's not difficult to do, but no one has published anything on it. And I suspect it's because no one has found anything that is significant. So, to be generous, this promotion mechanism might give some little benefit here, and some little benefit here, and some little benefit here. So, we'll summarise this slide. So the strength of the influence of a mechanism depends on the phase of adoption. In the early phase, the reverse mechanism is dominant. And research results will show that firms that have got ISO 9000 are really much more profitable than firms that do not have ISO 9000. Nothing to do with ISO 9000, to do with the fact that they were profitable already. During the growth phase, and if you look at the number of people who are certified year on year on year, bigger numbers. But when you break it down by country, some countries, like Spain for instance, it's peaked, it's well past its peak. Registrations are still growing, but where are they growing? They're growing in China, an enormous country, so it keeps fueling it. So, we shouldn't be sort of worldwide on this, but within a particular area like Spain or perhaps the UK. So this is the phase that would have been in place 10 years ago. The early phase would have been 15 years ago or so. Okay, so during the growth phase, where the number of certifications is growing, the promotional mechanism has some influence. It's new. People who have the badge stand out from those people who don't have the badge. Therefore, the badge is more valuable. Over time, of course, as more and more companies have to badge, it becomes of no real overall benefit. So from being something that is different and signals you out, being somebody who hasn't got it signals that you are out. So, the motives mechanism becomes progressively diluted with the influence of the first, The progressive dilution of the reverse mechanism is due to this motives mechanism taking over. Think about it. These already high-performing firms, they've got ISO 9000. They're already in the sample of those firms that have got ISO 9000. So the ones that are following on are firms that weren't high-performing or not so high-performing. Yeah, remember that when we looked at the samples, we found it very easy to find lots of firms that were in the same business, same size and what have you, who didn't have ISO 9000. So these are the people that later on are going to use this purchase mechanism. In the mature phase, which is I think where you are in your country and in your region, the motors mechanism is dominant. The influence of posers increase. There's more people who are saying, oh, I have to have ISO 9000 because it's expected by my suppliers, or now, we're at a competitive disadvantage because we haven't got it. So, less developmental people and more posers. And it's not surprising in a way that when you look at research that is being done currently, on the whole, people are rather disillusioned and they find that they're not getting any benefits that were expected. And we're not surprised because we know what's going on here. But certainly those people that think that it's a promotional mechanism are wrong, because it doesn't exist anymore. Because you can't have a promotion mechanism when everybody's got it. It just doesn't work that way. So, any questions on that? It's quite complicated to explain. Does it make sense to you? Yes?
So, nowadays, would it be a disadvantage not to have it when everybody else does?
Well, it could be, depending on your industry. Now, for instance, the hotel industry has been quite slow to adopt ISO 9000, ISO 9001 now. Because customers aren't looking for it. They're more likely to look on TripAdvisor and see what people say about the hotel. But there is a progressive move now that Enarki tells me that certainly in Spain, more hotels are thinking about ISO 9000 to help improve their overall quality management, because they find that although they get very, very good reviews, they also get some reviews that are really bad. So they're inconsistent with their quality in terms of room service, in terms of staff, reception desks and so on. So it helps, perhaps, ISO 9000 to make things more consistent, because you're measuring things, you're doing things against checklists and so on. So a well-run hotel won't need ISO 9000. I don't think Wernie, in his hotel, needed ISO 9000. But you know, if a hotel was struggling to try to reach that kind of stage, ISO 9000 might help. But it's not going to make any difference to sales, because customers don't even think about it. Us as customers, it is a business-to-business thing, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, yeah, fine. Particular customers might probably want a look at the ISO standard if the company is certified or not. But
Now,
business-to-business, more common.
I think maybe firms might sort of say, you know, if they're having a conference or something, that they might want some assurance that, you know, there is certification in place. I think it's those big events, but individuals, I doubt, would consider it. They're much more likely to look at TripAdvisor or listen to their friends or whatever. Any other questions?
To support this hypothesis,
yeah.
Does ISO 9001 have the same behavior?
Well, it's this research was limited to ISO 9000 because of the consistency of ISO 9000, and that there was a lot of research that was done on it.
By this stage, there's probably enough research on ISO 9001 to do it again. But since I've done it once, I don't want to do it again. It might surprise you, but from the time when you have the idea to do research, or even a theoretical article like this, through to it being published, is about 4 years. And I'm going to be retired by then. So I'm not going to start on ISO 9001. And I've also got rather bored with ISO 9000 and ISO 9001. So the research I'm currently engaged in is more in the social sciences field, to do with bullying at work, to do with good management, the effect that that has on employee motivation and so on. Because, you know, you need new things to get your brain going, don't you? So I've swapped over from being dominated by quality. I've done it for so many years, I thought to myself, I've got to have a change. It's going to drive me mad. So it's a completely different field and very, very interesting because different theories, different ideas, and much more people-orientated than systems. Okay? Any other questions? Yes?
The cost of implement and certificate is the same for the enterprises or depends on the enterprise?
Sorry, can you say that again?
The cost is the same.
Oh, the cost, yeah?
For all enterprises?
No, it's.
Or depends?
It depends on the size of the enterprise generally. The bigger the enterprise, the more you will pay. Because there's more guys that come in to do the accreditation. And no, when I was in business, I did about three different accreditations in three different firms. And, you know, in the smaller companies, there was about five guys crawling all over the place for a week. In the bigger company, that was a very large company, there was a team of 20 guys there for a month. And I don't know what they did, but they uncovered all kinds of things that I didn't know about. We were relying on all of our test equipment being tested by another company in the group that I work for that were famous for their quality. They were big companies supplying the defence industry, very high-tech stuff. And they would test all of our test equipment because you have to certify your test equipment that it meets the standards and so on. And they found, when they went to that company, that some of their systems weren't up to mark. So they said, we're not going to give you certification unless they put themselves right, or that you put all of your work in terms of test equipment calibration with another company that actually has ISO 9001. So I think that was sneaky. Now, this is sort of building business, isn't it? But, you know, it was a shock to the company that thought it had fantastic quality systems, but there were errors there. They put those errors right quite easily, but you know, they had to find something, and they certainly did. Okay? So it depends. And the cost varies tremendously as well. I think there's more competition now, because certainly in Spain there's more competition between the people that are certifying companies. This means that this is downward pressure on the fees that they're charging. So it does cost less. Every 3 years you have to be recertified, and the cost of that is less than the initial accreditation. If you ask Marty, he's done articles on this, and he'd be much better at answering the actual sums that are involved than me. Okay? Any other questions? At the back, guys? No? Okay. So, this is where I conclude, but can I thank you all? You've been a great group. Last year there was about 12, yeah? The year before there was about 9, and suddenly there's this jump, yeah? To 21 guys, so really pleased that that has happened. And you've been a very attentive and very engaging audience. So I wish you well in the little exam that's coming up, and in the assessments for the rest of the course, and in your careers, and may God bless you.
So my understanding, guys, is that Marty is still in Barcelona. He is acting as the chief of the whole university at the moment. He's standing in for the rector, who is in America. So he is up to his eyes in it. He's a busy man anyway, but
He's been called to meetings in Madrid and Barcelona and God knows what. So he has got a colleague who's going to administer the test today. And I understand that the test will be starting at 7 o'clock. So can I suggest you take a break now and that you're back here for 7 o'clock and that hopefully Marty's colleague will be here to instruct you on the test. Thank you very much.
Thank you.